Today's episode is brought to you by Learn Academy, an award-winning coding bootcamp that is redefining coding education and helping make the tech community a more welcoming and diverse space. A local family business, Learn Academy is San Diego's original coding bootcamp. They've been serving our local community for over 6 years and have helped hundreds go from zero to the Manny Machado of the software development world in just 4 months. And we all know who we're talking about when we mention zero. Learn Academy has scholarships and flexible financing options that help make this a reality. If you or someone you know is looking for a new career path, call 619-940-7848. That's 619-940-7848. Or just go to www.learnacademy.org. Do it!
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell for the 200th time.
Unbelievable. Go Padres.
Yeah.
TKF I probably 200. Said that at least 200 times, Nick, right?
Yeah. We're also joined by Dallas McLaughlin.
Oh, man. You know what? It's TKF like 300, but we stopped counting at some point.
Yeah, right.
But 200 sounds like enough. So let's just leave it there and not get all specific about it.
This is the 200th episode of TKF proper. That's what I think calling it. There's been other series. There's, you know, the Canon, TKF United.
Yeah, the Canon took a week off last week. Sorry about that, but we'll be back.
Seal City SD. You know, we have the TKF universe is vast and complex, but
it is complex, that's for sure.
So how do you guys feel about you know, the milestone? How do you feel about the whole community of just people doing this, you know?
I mean, we've talked about it before, and you know, I was actually thinking about writing something for the site about it, and I might still do that, but it is really, really amazing to see how crazy the community has gotten, how big the community has gotten. Like, I mean, when we started doing this, when Travis and I think it was, we started with Travis and I in the living room of our house
that Travis and I were living in at the time. When we still had
we did in the backyard.
We'd hook up tube TVs with antennas in the backyard, much like that famous picture of, you know, the Murph where they're watching the game from the tube television with the rabbit ears. We would watch Padre games while we would record in the backyard in the same fashion.
Yes.
Just so amazing conversations about whether or not we can build around Cameron Maben.
Very fun times. But just to think back then when we didn't even know if anybody was listening to the podcast now.
Or knew what podcasts were.
Most people didn't. This was like 2008 or 2009 or whatever it was. And so it's just really cool to have done it for this long and to see how many other podcasts there are now. And it was kind of chippy there for a while. But I think in the last season, I think really brought everybody together in a nice way. And I think everybody's been very supportive, which is pretty awesome. So I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad to have 200 episodes in. And then I quit. This is my last show.
Oh, so great.
Yeah. Fun. And
well, we have a replacement audition tonight with a friend.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. We have a really special guest. He's somebody who's contributed to the site a few times, and he's a writer for Mad Friars. He has a podcast called Bound for Disappointment with Kevin Charity. Welcome to the show, Mark Wilkins.
Hey, what's up, thank you, guys. What's up? Congratulations on 200. That's really cool.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
Is it cool? Like, that's like cool. I have to ask myself sometimes, like, I don't know if it's cool. It feels cool. It feels cool.
It better feel cool. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I think Kevin and I are at like maybe 12. So, I mean, 200 is pretty impressive. That's commitment.
Yeah.
We decided that your guys' podcast is the last podcast of the newer podcast that we're going to recognize. So we know you guys have been contributing to, you know, Mad Friars has been around for a while, but these new kids who are coming out when we're good, I don't know about that.
Screw those kids. I love it. I love it when I get tears. like a, I get a follow from somebody who's like, you know, some, they got some fun, witty name for their Padres Twitter account. And then you look at their profile picture and they're like, Padres coverage done the right way. And they have like two followers and then you never hear from them again. I love those people. Like, they're my favorite people. Like, it's just so great. It's like, nobody does this coverage the right way. Nobody. And we're all sad. Just get off it. Anyway, sorry. That was my rant. Old man rant aside.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the cool things about just doing this is meeting people like Mark, and, you know, we've met a lot of people along the way. But yeah, hey, Mark, you were at the Arizona series, right, last week. What was the vibe at Chase Field? It seemed like, you know, Arizona was a really chill place during the pandemic. what's the vibe at the field?
It's definitely pretty loose. I mean, even more so than spring training, because spring training, the crowd limits really kind of kept you spread out. So at Chase Field, it was really like, I think they're a little under half capacity, and they actually only ask you to wear a mask when you're on the concourse. They even tell you when you sit down, and like, all bets are off. So it is kind of everyone for themselves. So I'm glad I didn't go until I had both shots for that. But it was, I kind of expected that. I mean, yeah, I lived here during the course of the pandemic, and it was definitely a lot more lawless than a lot of other areas. So,
yeah,
I did remember I went to Flagstaff like 6 months ago, and we stopped off at a gas station, and I went in, and the guy was working the AMPM, and he was it was like an AMPM or something. They were doing the hot dogs. He was making, you know, putting the hot dogs out, and had a mask around his neck, just doing the food work. And I'm like, that's the one way to do it. That's one way to handle it there, buddy. That's what the mask is for. Put it around your neck when you're handling food. It was fantastic. Good old Flagstaff.
Yeah, well, we never had a statewide mask mandate. So we had it in Phoenix. We still do in Phoenix. And countywide, it's not there anymore. But there would be times where I'd go outside the valley. I'd go up north for a little bit. And like, I'd be walking around a store, and everyone would just be walking around like it was 2019. And it would really freak me out, because I had already gotten so used to everything the way it was.
Yeah, that's it's a scary place, but beautiful out there in Arizona.
Definitely. Well, so, yeah,
you know, Mark, where you live is really a big hotbed for baseball development. I mean, you know, there's a lot of spring training facilities there, obviously, and, you know, it's just a lot of baseball players live there in the off season, and it just seems like a place where it's a good place for you to be, because you cover the minor leagues for Mad Friars. What's the general vibe about, like, how this season's going to go with player development in the minor leagues? I mean, it seems like we heard today that the Tin Caps, you know, they released the roster, but how what are you hearing about how these leagues are going to open?
It really feels like they're trying to be as normal as possible. It's really, I think kind of the feeling is there's been a lost year for everyone.
Yeah.
And the way the alternate sites were last year, nobody got to play in a real competition. They were all playing against their teammates, and it was a lost year for everyone who didn't play in the majors. So it's different this year. It was awesome to see the teams like the Padres, who had the alternate site here in Arizona, because they got to play kind of extended spring games against other teams. The Dodgers were here, the Angels were here. So there was kind of that competition, but what they're going for in the season is business as usual. From what I can see, from what we've seen from the roster so far, it seems like they kind of just made judgments from minor league spring, and they're just going to put the guys where they think they're the best fit, like they would any other year. I haven't seen anything that really points to a lost year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you look at their big league club now, and there's this big question about, you know, we have Miguel Diaz pitching on Tuesday, and we don't really know what's going to happen on, or, you know, is he pitching tomorrow, or is that how it goes? Or no, he's pitching Tuesday, and then we don't really know who the starter is going to be on Wednesday. This is naturally brought up a conversation about Mackenzie Gore and where he's at. What are you hearing about his growth? I mean, he did have a weird, like all the prospects had a weird year last year. What are you hearing about his development, and if that is a viable option, if he were to somehow come up and give the Padres innings in some capacity?
It's tough, because every time you hear an update on Gore, it seems more and more discouraging. it's about the same issue. It's about the control, and people are, you see on Twitter, people are writing him off like he's already a bust, and it's not like that. It really is that they're not going to bring him up until they think that he's ready to go meaningful innings. They don't want to bring a guy up and send him, shuttle him right back, unless he's a guy who's a little older, like they do with Chris Matt and right. Northcraft, those guys who they've put some innings on their arms, and with Gore, they're not going to bring him up and then go, oh, that was a disaster, you know, on to the next one. They want to make sure that they bring him up when he's ready to go. It's a matter of there was some funk in his mechanics, and they think they fixed that in spring, but you saw his spring wasn't the most consistent thing. So they're looking at it like there's progress, but I agree with where they're going right now. They seem very determined to have him pitch organized innings in the minors in real games before they really look at what they're going to do.
Where do you think he's going to pop up when it, like, where do you think he'll end up to start his competitive, you know, outings when he's in front of crowds doing it? Do you think it'll be in double A or triple A? Or
I think he'll be in El Paso. I think they've just, you know, they like to put the pitchers in double A, but I think he's at the point now where they want to put him out in the PCL and they want to get the triple A look. I think it's just at the point where you kind of have to. He's right on deck.
I feel like it's time to, I'm excited that things are getting going in the minors, because I just feel like our pitching staff like we need a couple of guys to kind of show up to the majors pretty soon. And so I'm just, it makes me happy things are getting going. You get a little worried. You know, I think last year we saw that a lot, where there was just guys at the exploratory alternate sites, like, why was exploratory? made that up. The exploratory site, where they're just discovering if they like baseball or not, you know. No, the alternate sites were, you know, they kind of came up and they weren't really sharp, and it was, you know, a little messy. So I'm glad that that's kind of solved a little bit this season, and I'm super excited for a lot of these young arms, because I'm a little sick of some of the old ones. Hey.
Yeah, so with a guy like Ryan Weathers, who's pretty close in age to Mackenzie Gore, what were they, you know, obviously the team decided last postseason that he was ready to go into a game, you know, that we all saw at the game that he made his major league debut. And I mean, at that point in his development, what were they seeing that was just a trigger that said that, okay, this kid is ready for that, even though his ceiling is widely considered not to be as high as Gore's or somebody like that?
It's hard to say in some ways, because that's one thing I'm so excited about with the minor season, is that you're going to have stats, you're going to have video of these guys. You're going to be able to say, like, this is what's going on, this is where they're coming from. With the alt site, we kind of had to just rely on what they were telling us. They told us, you know, Campusano was the best bat, Weathers was the best arm. But based on what you've been hearing about Gore and what you've seen from Weathers, it's the ability to attack the strike zone. He goes in, has no fear about it. Especially the fastball, he just comes right in with it. There's never been a real dancing around kind of issue with him. And that's why he was also effective out of the bullpen. There was never really this point where he was worried about the future. And maybe that's detrimental long-term as a starter, but he was a guy who came in and he pounded the strike zone. And I'm sure that's what they saw at USD.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said. You know, there's something to be said for a guy like that who pounds the strike zone. And I feel like I'm seeing that more and more with a lot of the younger pitchers, where they're just telling them to go after hitters instead of trying to dance around. And I don't know if that's because kids are just throwing harder now than they kind of ever have in the past. Like, I'm always reminded every time I watch Bull Durham, how excited all of them were that he threw 96. And now I'm like, that's everybody. So it is kind of like, it's refreshing. Like, I love, you were talking about Weathers there too. I got a little lost there, but you were talking about Weathers, right? Now I'm
Weathers.
Listen, I have two. I've already had two whiskeys. He gave 200.
We're celebrating.
But like, yeah, then like, I love watching Weathers pitch. Like, I mean, he just looks so confident out there. I mean, it's awesome. Like, he's so fun. As opposed to a lot of the younger guys who just kind of look a little shaken. They're not as composed. But he reminds me of a Paddock season one. But he's coming through.
He's actually relentless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't really know what's happened with Weathers, right? With his arm. I mean, have you heard anything like about what the timetable would be for you know, like a surgery or anything like that? I guess we're all waiting to hear that. It's kind of a dumb question, but
they're pretty optimistic there won't be a surgery if they're going with this dead arm theory, but it's wait and see, which we're probably all a little bit tired of hearing when it comes to Padres injuries. But Weathers had a similar feeling, I believe it was 2019, and I think he missed about 3.5 weeks. And the only real concern with that was that he did come back for the rest of the season with reduced velocity. And we saw that reduced velocity for that one inning in Arizona. It wasn't fun. So if he comes back in any sort of reduced form, it could have impacted his season on the major league roster for sure. But right now they're optimistic on a timetable, rest and relaxation, but that's the pull string doll, right?
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, so we've gone through 29 games, and I think the consensus is that we haven't seen the best Padres baseball yet. And I don't know, I'm starting to think more about that and really looking at some of the problems with the roster. And, you know, there's only been two starting pitchers that have pitched into the sixth inning for the Padres. And, you know, it seems like a big problem is that we just don't have enough arms that can go deeper into games. And that's going to really affect the bullpen, which is was supposed to be a plus for us. Do you see any moves coming in the next, you know, few months where they're going to have to address that issue? And who would you want to go after in that scenario?
That's really tough, because if you look, you know, the Padres are running thin on pitching depth, but you look at the Dodgers, they literally ran out of starting pitching depth over the weekend. So they're going to be on the market, and the free agent market is retreads that you really don't want to give meaningful innings to. It's guys like Samardzija. The trade market is tough too, because nobody's really come out of the gate just playing terrible baseball. Like in the West, the Rockies are bad, but they've already kind of sold everything they want to sell. Everything else, they kind of look at young arms. The Diamondbacks have arms that if they were having a terrible year, you'd want to see them sell, but they're in it. And most of the league is in it. So you hear a lot about Scherzer. I love Scherzer. I don't know what a Scherzer costs. But yeah, as far as like arms that you would see pitch in a playoff series with the Padres, that list is pretty small out there. So they may have to get a little creative with what they do.
Yeah. And what about, you know, just depth around the, you know, just on the bench, just for position players, it does seem like they could use some more depth and, you know, some better defensive replacements. I mean, do you see anybody that could come up in the minors that you've been looking at that might, you know, might be able to contribute in that area if they need to?
A name you hear a lot if you got healthy would be Jorge Onya, but Onya doesn't excite too many people because he's a guy that I think even when he's healthy, he's a limited player, big power, not necessarily a plus in defense or ability to get on base. He's limited to the corners in the outfield. So he's a pretty solid prospect, but he doesn't necessarily upgrade over what they have on the bench right now. You'd be looking at Tucapita Marcano again, who looked a little overwhelmed in the majors after a really hot spring. And you have the possibility down the road, you don't count out CJ Abrams making the majors. It just comes down to how he starts out in the minors.
Yeah. And where do you think he'll start out?
I think he's graduated from single A just with that spring he had. I mean, he put up slightly below average numbers in major league camp. So I don't think you put him into a level where he feels like he's playing with a bunch of kids. I think he probably goes to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did look good this spring. That is for sure.
Yeah. One name that jumped out today when they released the Tin Caps roster, obviously I think most people, you know, he'll always catch our eye because it was such a big part of a trade earlier, was Anderson Espinoza, who, you know, has such a tough road for him. You know, he comes to into the organization at like 18, and he has two Tommy John surgeries. He's 23 now, and, you know, he's back at the level that I think he was when he was 18, right? Or, you know, single at the Tin Caps. And, you know, what do you think? Are they just kind of hoping to see maybe he can put together some kind of something together as a career? It doesn't seem like the organization has too much invested in him anymore. But what do you think could happen to a guy like that, that young, who has two Tommy Johns already behind him?
Yeah, I mean, the Tin Caps actually have two guys who I think are both 23 who are coming off multiple Tommy Johns now. They have Espinoza and they have Carter Lowen. And Lowen was signed after the draft as an undrafted free agent. And I think production from those guys, in a way, is a bonus. But I think at the same time, they don't necessarily see those guys not making the majors if they stay healthy. It's just that, you know, for Lowen, it's his first year organized ball. And for Espinoza, it's just getting a track record. I mean, the guy hasn't thrown a pitch in so long that I think you just put him at high A because it's just a good kind of warm spot for him to go in and get some innings in just to kind of track where he is. I mean, he didn't pitch much in Major League spring, and we have no idea what he did in Minor League spring because they wouldn't let me through the fence. So yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think the access is going to be like for you this year? Or like, are you going to be able to, are teams going to be more guided? It seems like we're in this gray area with the pandemic where, you know, obviously at the big league level, they're not really letting media up close other than, you know, Zooms. What are you looking for? I mean, what do you think it's going to be like, you know, this summer for you and everybody at Mad Friars?
We're optimistic. I mean, they didn't let any media into minor league spring, which I get because they had way more players at the facility. There's only so much space. They didn't really want to have, you know, guys and gals are not keeping track of, you know, walking up to players and everything and trying to keep that, you know, how are they going to regulate interviews? Right. Because, you know, one of the things with minor league spring interviews is you kind of just walk up to people and talk to them. It's not really like, here's the availability for this guy because you're dealing with 100 plus players. So I get that. And major leagues, obviously, there's really no access. I mean, even the writers who are traveling with the team, they're kind of watching Zooms after, which is a really bizarre atmosphere. But we're optimistic with the affiliates. If things start to improve, especially in the states that these teams are in, we're optimistic that we'll be able to have some sort of access if it's, you know, if they restrict it to outside or something, we don't know, but we're optimistic for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, this weekend was, you know, we won a series against the Giants. And one of the cool things was that Austin Nola came back, and that kind of makes our catching situation a little easier. You know, Luis Campusano is somebody that you've covered and Mad Friars has written a lot about. What did you see from him this year? You know, he's was pushed into the major leagues a little earlier than I think they obviously wanted to, but what do you see happening with him? I mean, he obviously has talent and, you know, but he's raw and he needs to be, you know, in the minors longer. What do you think his track is going to be like when he, on his way back, you know?
I think, you know, I mean, one, he's going to be just fine. Like you said, he was brought up earlier than they wanted. And you look at the catching depth in the organization, it really didn't make sense to not bring him up, even though it was early. Because after that, you're looking at guys like Webster Rivas, guys who just aren't, they're either just not major league contributors in a way, or they're just not, they're even less ready than he was. But whether he goes to AA or he goes to AAA, I think he'll go to AAA just because he has been playing significant time with the Padres. It'll just be getting him all the at-bats he can get. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's back some point over the summer.
Oh, really? Okay.
Or if he's a kind of a late season guy, I think he'll be back. And with Nola, that just makes it where they can do that many more things. They can, and even Caratini was originally a third baseman, and they've kind of teased the idea of using Caratini as a corner infielder. I don't really see it because the bat's not necessarily there. But Nola, he already played second base the ninth inning at Arizona. He's played first, second, left field, obviously DH pinch hit. So they're not afraid to bring up Campusano when he's ready and just kind of have that situation with Nola, especially with left field not being a position of strength right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, you know, you could see that there was a stark difference between him and Caratini and what, in the way that they were handling pitchers. And, you know, it's gotta be insane for these, especially at that position, to be like a fish out of water almost, you know, just way too early. But you know, that's I guess that they have to do that. But yeah. Yeah. Hey, Mark, you know, thanks for coming on. It's great talking to you. You know, this generally is a David J house when we, you know, that's in all Mad Friars internal arguments, we take David J's side. But you know, thanks for being our side piece, and you know, yes. we do we loved having you on, and thanks for writing for the site a few times. You're always welcome whenever you got anything. If you want to throw anything down, just let us know. But yeah, check out Mark's podcast, Bound for Disappointment with Kevin Charity. I wanted to talk to you about that for a second because I really like your guys' format where you talk baseball for about, you know, 40 minutes or so. What is it like? You talk baseball for a long stretch, mm-hmm. and then you talk about music in a really in-depth way where you guys talk about, you know, songs that mean a lot to you, and you kind of have this conversation about, you know, your different angles that you come to with music. And I thought it was really fun to listen to because, you know, you can take all your baseball takes and then take your music takes and kind of see where you can kind of connect those, like, oh, I see how he thinks now. So that's a, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was what it really kind of started with, I think, is Kevin and I usually have pretty similar baseball takes, and yeah. we don't argue about it very much. Like, he's a little more stats driven than I am, but I think for the most part, like, on baseball takes, we're always on the same page. So it's almost like we needed something to fight about. And I realized that we argue about music a lot because he's a real death metal guy,
yeah.
and I'm not. And it was just kind of saying, like, what else can we talk about that's kind of like introduces conflict into the show?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, yeah, check out Mark on Twitter, Mark F. Wilkins, and the Bound for Disappointment podcast, wherever you get podcasts. And thanks for coming on, man. We're going to talk to our friend Sean O'Donnell. He's the host of Tox Chrome, and he's a Giants fan. So we're going to talk a bunch of shit to him for winning that game today. But that's not besides the point. We won the series. So check this out. We're going to go into the NL West house with Sean O'Donnell.
Hello, Kept Faith listeners. 2021 is finally here. The most anticipated Padres season in over a decade is almost upon us, and we want to be there with you every step of the way. Go to patreon.com/thekeptfaith. That is patreon.com/thekeptfaith. And join us today. $1, $5, $10, or $50 million. Those are the only available options. Every little bit goes a long way. Join us today. Join our army, and we will take down all the other podcasts one at a time. Patreon.com/thekeptfaith. We would love to have you a part of our team. And who knows, you might get a free gift here and there or something else. Or I don't know, maybe you'll just get a high five next time we see you, but probably shouldn't touch each other right now, at least for another year. It's nothing personal. It's the pandemic.
You're now entering the NL West House presented by TalksChrome.com.
All right, we're in the NL West House with Sean O'Donnell from Tox Chrome. What's up,
hi guys?
Man?
What's up? Hey, it's great to be back. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so nice to be back, Nick.
So how was your April?
April was a big surprise. Big surprise, April. Had a good time.
Yeah. So basically, let's walk it back. You know, the entire national baseball media, our local media, the NL West media had just decided that the Padres and Dodgers would be the class of the division. That's still in play. Obviously, we have a lot of baseball left, but those pesky Giants from the Bay Area just will not go away. They don't have Bochy. They don't have any of the old players except for Buster Posey, who's like an all-star again all of a sudden.
Amazing. So,
reborn.
The Giants are at the top of the NL West. They're a game and a half ahead of the third place Padres, which just feels just like home to me.
Will you say all that one more time? God, that feels
well.
So good.
You know, another way to put reborn, Nick, is the cream in the clear. San Francisco is really, really into the cream in the clear up there, actually, in the Bay Area. I think there's just some leftover from the Bonds days in the locker room, and Buster found it, started rubbing it on his old head. And look at that, hitting bombs all of a sudden again. Good for Buster. Good for Buster.
You need to calm down, Dallas. I'm just going to say this. You know, we last time I talked to you, most Giants fans kind of wrote this season off. Well, you know, we don't look good on paper. The Padres, the Dodgers, blah, blah, blah. You know what I was thinking about today? You know who doesn't care at all about those things? The actual players on the team that you've discounted. Those guys don't care. They're all 34 and they're all veterans. And they're all making it work, and it's been really fun. I don't know what to say. It's very surprising. Every batter I watch get up, you know, it says their average, and it's 204. And I'm like, how are we doing this? But we are. It is. Posey is hitting 350. Longoria is hitting 270. Everyone else is either hitting 190 or 210. Look it up. It's yeah. incredible. It's just happening, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all right, great. Good night, Sean.
That was, yeah, that's guys. Great. That was fun. That was really fun.
You know what, Nick? I'm going to be honest. Look, we, as much as it's been fun, you know, we're probably just a placeholder first place team for now.
No, don't say that,
Sean. But by the way, very it's smart, not going to happen soon. We're going up. We have the Rockies. We have the Pirates. We have Texas. Like, we have to play the Dodgers 7 times in May, which is going to be tough. But other than the Padres next weekend, which will also be tough, there's a lot of cake for the Giants to eat this May. So we can hang in there for a while. I'm not sure what it's going to look like in July. Right now, it's very exciting.
I mean, what were you guys looking at as far as what you're built? I mean, it seemed like you were built, you had some pieces that you're building towards having a window, but
well,
you know, what happened exactly? Like, who's really jumped out? I mean, obviously Posey's having a resurgence. You're getting good performances by young players, but like, you know, who really popped for you this month?
I got to be honest with you. This weekend, you know, even winning one out of the 3 games was fun. The most exciting thing that happened for me as a Giants fan this weekend was the San Jose Giants announced their roster, and it's like 5 out of the top 10 prospects. Like, I'm at where you guys were maybe 5 years ago, where I'm real. Like, the Giants finally have prospects. They haven't had them for a decade. The last time they had prospects was like Posey and Bumgarner. And we have these like awesome, exciting guys. They're all playing 10 minutes away from my house. I'm like, can I hire a nanny full time so I can just go to every game? That's how excited I am. So as fun as this team has been, it's from where I'm standing, I'm not like, okay, all right, if we don't get it this year, it's next year. It's the same Giants formula. It's a lot of, you know, veteran pitchers, a lot of like veteran hitters, maybe one or two young guys will make it happen. But, you know, for me, the future for the Giants is not like August. It's August of 2023, if that makes sense.
This is just house money you're playing with, right?
It's fun. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just enjoying it. I'm a Giants fan. I can't control, you know, if Johnny Cueto is going to get hurt, you know, or I have to look forward to Johnny Cueto coming back. Like, it is what it is. I'm excited about the future, but I'm enjoying the present.
Yeah.
No, listen, when you can root on an Alex Wood or an Anthony DeScalfani, you got to do it. You got
Tony Disco, Tony Disco, buddy. Yeah,
it's a good time.
One mistake yesterday for Tony Disco. We could have won that game too. We could have won all 3 of these games. You guys are awful. Let's get to it.
Ooh, hey, what happened? Okay. All right.
Where was Brandon Crawford this weekend? Is he brushing his teeth with Mountain Dew somewhere? I don't know.
I think he played the first.
He got hit by a pitch.
Yeah. So yeah. Dubon took over. And, you know, like Brandon Bell, all these guys are like one misstep away. And I mean, misstep like getting on the bus. They're that age, you know, where they can be injured. So that's what happens when the mean age of your team is 33. It's just, you know, while everyone's healthy, let's go. And then, you know, who knows?
Yeah, every time on our fantasy league, I keep seeing Alex Dickerson, and then I look up his stats, and I'm like, wait a minute, he's not good. Why aren't people picking him up? He's not good. No, he's not. He's hitting. You're right. He's hitting like 210.
They're
like,
all hitting 210.
But he's a team player, Dallas. He's a team player. Not a fantasy player. He's a team player. He's a winner.
The pitching's been good too. I mean, that's the thing.
Pitching's been really good.
Even in these games, they kept it close. They had a chance. So that's how they're winning games. Obviously, we're not hitting a ton, but when they do, they're making it count. And so it's just, like I said, it's just been awesome.
Yeah, I think coming into the weekend, the Giants had the best all-around pitching statistics.
Yeah.
The Padres flipped them over the last 2 games. I don't know after today where we're at. But, yeah, the Padres and Giants right now are really in the battle for the best pitching, which is much more amazing looking at the Giants roster versus the Padres, which is –
sure. Yeah, you guys were
expecting a lot. But it's fun.
It's fun. It's so like this weekend, other than like just the very end of the game, was like classic NOS baseball, like 3-2 games where the pitchers keep them, you know, keep it interesting. It's the kind of baseball I love. It was very exciting.
So after 1 month of the season, you know, where are you with Gabe Kapler now? I mean, he's not Bruce Bochy, who probably will never be Bruce Bochy, sure. But you know, it's.
Who will?
Where's the fan
base? All right, here you go.
As a representative of the fan base, where are you with him?
You ready? Here's where I'm at. Fire Gabe Kapler. because Friday night, when he did not get ejected after those three wide calls to Wilmer Flores, and it's the ninth, and
those were ridiculous.
Get thrown out of the game.
Yeah, like sacrifice your body if you have to.
If Aaron Boone gets fired, you know, because the Yankees are bad. Remember that Aaron Boone at least went to bat. His guys are savages in the box. We'll always remember that. Gabe Kapler should have gotten ceremoniously thrown out of that game, and I'm so upset about it.
Yeah, those were the three.
That was insane.
Like,
that was insane.
I've never seen anything like that in all my years of watching baseball. Those were like, they weren't even on like the corner of the plate or the edge. They were like way outside, and it was just one, two, three, and no one said a word. I was just, my jaw hit the floor, and I'm a Padres fan. Like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I still haven't seen it.
What was amazing? Was so obviously I'm watching the Giants feed, and we have, please don't argue with me, we have two of the best TV announcers. Like, they're so good. And so Dwayne Kuiper's like, he gets that first call and he's like, okay, well, you know, Melanson's going to go back there again. And it was like, boom. And he goes, he gets the second one. He's like, there's no way he's not throwing that third one there. So you're at the same time, he's Tony Romo-ing it, but then you're like so mad, but it was just an incredible moment. The Giants, it's still fresh for me that last year we lost a chance to get to the playoffs with the same shenanigans. The last game of the year where we had a chance, we had the same awful calls. And I'm just tired of baseball, Travis. I don't want to watch games anymore.
They were not borderline.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah. I just watched the sequence for the first time right now.
They're not borderline. There's nothing to like discuss there. You go out there and you raise hell. You kick dirt on the plate for those pitches.
I think they were good pitches. Honestly, Sean. They were those are strikes.
Here's what I recently
consistent.
This year,
he was consistent.
He was consistent. I know Giants. The Giants pitchers aren't great. They're not consistent. You're not used to seeing consistent pitching. But Melanson's a pro, and that's what happens when you have a consistent
pitcher. No, that's why I said he's going to go back to the same spot. Look,
and they're strikes because the umpire called them strikes, and that's just the end of it. We should move on.
Look, I know that you're going to hang up on me for saying this, but I have gotten into soccer in the last year, and here's why. Imagine in soccer, if the guy kicked the ball and there was just one guy going like, yeah, that was a goal. You know what I mean? Like, there's no goalposts. Like, that's what baseball is, I found out. Like, in soccer, there's a metal structure and you get it in there and it counts. And in baseball, it's this phantom thing that some guy goes, that was it or that wasn't it. And it's the worst thing to have to deal with as a fan.
After that second pitch, you can see Mark Melanson, you can see his gears turning. He's like, are we doing? I guess we're doing this.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't he do that? Anyway,
yeah, no, I mean, the robot umps are coming.
They have right?
And that sequence will be the example used as justification for it.
You know what's crazy though is that somebody tweeted me this. There's an account, I forget what it was, but there is like an umpire tracker account. Yeah, and then at the end of the game. At the end of the game, they show you like how many they got right, the percentage and everything. And it's like they get way more right than all of us think that they do.
Oh, no.
Which is crazy though, because you watch it and you're like, what in the hell? Like, what is going on? Like, how is that a strike? Like, I'm in the same boat, Sean. Like, there are so many times you watch pitchers get away with some of the worst calls and it doesn't make any sense. But then you look at the tracker at the end of it. And I think a lot of it has to do with like camera
TV,
position.
Too. The TV,
The way it's positioned, it makes it look a little weirder to fans.
Why they should get rid of the box. Like, the box should go away.
Yeah. I remember being like five and watching my first baseball game. And even as a five-year-old, I was like, how can he see from there? Like, I've always been like, that's the worst place for the guy to try. Like, you know, like, how can he see the height? I get that he can cover the plate, kind of. Mm-hmm. He couldn't do it Friday night, but like it seems so difficult to do. And anyway, it's just, he's going to get notifications from the Umpires Association being like, dude, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want to be that ump.
It's a tough position they're putting him in because everybody's seeing it. And then what I don't understand is that the pushback to have a robotic strike zone. It seems like the umpire union is pushing back on it, but it wouldn't really, they wouldn't eliminate jobs by taking it taking it away, they would still need a home plate umpire.
Sure.
He just wouldn't be calling balls and strikes.
It seems like it'd be easier. Hey, man, all you got to do is just call if the guy, made it home or not, right?
Well,
you
I mean, they're trying to do their job, and everybody at home is like seeing how they're making mistakes, and it seems like it's time. It's just, it's time. I don't know.
The stakes are too high. When you're talking about, like, it's in the ninth inning, and after Kiper made those two great calls, he goes, well, he just took the bat out of his hands, which is true. He didn't even have, it's like, it's almost like the Giants lost a turn just because for no reason at all. And so,
well, it's the cheating.
He wasn't calling it consistent either too. Like that was the thing anyway.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing is, I totally see what you're saying, but I think that's the beauty of baseball. And just get rid of the box for us as fans on the television.
Yeah.
And honestly, then it's just an arbitrary thing that the ump's calling at the time, which is what baseball is. I don't know.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need the box. Like, robot ump seems unbaseball to me. That's all I got to say.
I understand. You wouldn't need a box around that to know that those were way outside.
That's also true. But the box, is just definitely judgmental instantly. Like you just I saw it, the dot is outside of the box. You're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you from experience, Sean, I just watched that sequence and they weren't outside. They were good strikes. Yeah, okay. Good, down the middle strikes. What's great is
it wasn't even paint. It wasn't even like close to paint.
No, the first, actually, I will say this: the first one was very, very close to like painting a corner. And the second two were, they were. No one. They were there. God. He was pitching in a different ballpark.
We didn't want to win that game anyway. It's okay.
There were two plates.
But anyway, Kapler,
I just love. But isn't it fun? Hold on, sorry, Sean. Isn't it fun for you to say what you just said though? That the stakes are too high, and we're in April. Isn't that like?
But it is.
This has been the weirdest April in that regard. By the way,
it's so fun.
This feels like October-ish April.
I wonder if it's because we're used to last season where everyone was like, "All right, we don't have that many weekends. We got to get it going." And I wonder if it'll cool off. But I think Dodgers Padres, which just like God bless America for that series. Has just like the stakes are high. I don't know if you guys watched tonight's Sunday night baseball game, but that was another intense game where Rhys Hoskins tied the game up in the ninth, but then it was ruled like a double because it hit the pole. Yeah. And like, Sunday night baseball, weekend baseball has just been awesome. It's so fun.
Yeah. And then were you the one who texted that the Pioneer League's doing the home run derby?
So that was another thing I heard today on listening to the Giants broadcast is when he said that, and I was like, no way. And I haven't Googled that, but like I even recorded it. So I'm like, did I dream that? Because on our show Talks Chrome 2 weeks ago, I was like, that's what we need to do. And that's something that Joe Chandler and I have talked about for a long time. Going back to soccer, it's like penalty kicks. Like you just throw BP, whoever hits the most home runs, game over. Save all the bullpen arms, Jake Cronenworth pitching. Like we don't have to have any of that stuff. Just like break out the bats and hit home runs. That's what people want to see. It'd be amazing.
It's true. You know,
there's a Futurama episode about this. I'm almost positive, but
where they hit home runs at the, where it's home run derby.
It's like called Splorn. It's gotta be the players. And it's just about like hitting the ball really far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on the NL West house, it's important for us to find common ground. And I think you're right. You know, baseball is really good this year. It's exciting. And, you know, we're just watching baseball get in its own way with the way they have umpires operate. But another way we can find common ground is what's happening to the Dodgers, the victim narrative that they are taking by the throat. I mean, they are just. Do you have something?
No, I just wanted to confirm that it is confirmed. Pioneer League is doing a home run derby.
I'm getting an MILB.TV subscription. I don't even know where the Pioneer, just so I can watch the fruits of their labor. Oh my God.
Exciting.
The Dodgers just destroyed the Brewers today, almost retaliation. But anytime the Dodgers can lose, I mean, an angel gets its wings. It's beautiful. It just feels so nice. When do you guys see them again?
June, mid-June.
Yeah, mid-June.
Not all of May. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it end of June, June 20th, something like that? I think
it's like around your birthday. It's like
it's around my
middle
birthday.
June. Yeah. But so you know, the Dodgers are having some injury problems, and it's not fair, Sean. Did you know it's not fair that they're not, they,
it's totally fair. And they have enough depth, you know what I mean, that they can do it. Hey, I just want a quick shout out, because before I forget, to thank the Yankees for just discarding Mike Tauchman, who is like, you know, our new favorite baseball player in San Francisco.
Let's talk about it.
Welcome to the team. Let's talk about it.
T-A-C-H. Yeah, dude. That's, I mean, it's the fact that you haven't started a podcast called Talking About Tauchman.
I'm changing Toxchrome to Toxchrome. It's great. You know, it was like, oh, we have Mike Tauchman now. And then, you know, he just comes through today, the clutch home run. Anyway,
I couldn't even tell you what position Mike Tauchman plays.
I couldn't tell you what position he played today either. It had to have been an outfield spot, but I don't know. There's no DH in the NL, right? So, but Mike Tauchman, welcome to the team. I'm going to go on, you know, shop.giants.com and see if I can cop a jersey.
Whoa, little promo there, a little free promo for the Giants.
So, you know, we'll probably check in with you in about a month or so. And maybe not. But
we'll see where you're at. We'll see where the Giants are.
We're going to see you next weekend. You guys been doing this? Hey. We play the same team consecutive weekends since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and we have a common enemy in the Dodgers. So we're both working in each other's favor until August. Can be civil till August.
You guys, Nick, you're like, I want you to be the villain. I've always been Padre adjacent. You know what I mean? Like if the Padres are playing anyone else, I'm always rooting for them. It's only when they play the Giants. I grew up in a household where my parents are Padre fans. So I got a lot of respect. I got a lot of love for the team, you know, but the Dodgers can always, you know, lose and I'll be very happy. So
you guys take out their legs. We'll take out the head. Somebody else has to win the damn division. That's all I care about. I mean, that's the most important thing.
I would be so happy to see that happen. Their time has come and gone. And the only problem is they have all of these players who are really good.
Yeah. Do you think the Buster only experience is sustainable? Is he going to keep it going?
Oh, Buster Posey? Is that what you're talking about?
Buster Olney. Jesus Christ. Buster Posey.
I'm like, what did Buster Olney do?
Buster Olney's going to keep it going.
He's in our head, man. As Buster Padre Olney fans, he's like on our subconscious constantly.
Buster Posey had a year off, man. He's just like the wear and tear. You know, that doesn't mean he's going to make it through the year like this, but it's great to see. And it does. I've read articles as a fan of like, what would Posey have done if he had played first base his whole career? Obviously, he's looking fresh. He's swinging the ball well. The hips look good.
Hips look good. Look at you.
If anyone's going to be, you know, if we're going to be excited as Giants fan, having Posey have a year like this, like, even if we don't end up, you know, finishing in the top of the division, you know, how many more years of him are we going to get? So this has been really fun.
Dude, episode one of Talking About Tauchman, Posey's hips look good.
They do. I love it. Clearing the hips, hitting home runs.
They don't lie. They don't lie.
They never do.
One thing that always kind of crops up whenever we get upset at Jace Tingler for something is that, you know, eventually, well, if he doesn't work out, we'll just hire Bochy back.
He was at the game. Right. Oh.
He doesn't pay for a ticket. You know, he just comes in. But
He does a Petco. We've made sure of that.
If that scenario were to play out and the Padres kind of get the, you know, his last rodeo after you took all the greatness from him, what would that feel like for you to see him in the division going against your Giants?
Brown and gold. It would be bittersweet, because as a fan of the man, I would be happy that this would obviously be a choice that he wanted to make. So I would approve. It would suck. The weeks that we had to play you guys, it would be very, very weird. But I would love to see him back as well. Like, you know what I mean? Even if he took a job with like another team, just to see him coach again, because he's like, he wasn't my favorite manager because of all the wins. He was my favorite manager because like he was such a Boy Scout, knew every rule A, B, and C underneath it. And watching him work was just beautiful. So, you know, if he wants to come back, I'd really love it to not be in the NL West, but you know.
It's interesting because like if he were to take his next job, wherever that would be, I don't think there'd be a new manager hire who has had that much walking into a clubhouse, having that much credibility. I mean,
sure. Yeah.
Nobody would ever question anything he says about anything. You know,
yeah, I think he'd be welcome. I mean, it could happen. I mean, look at all these guys like Tony La Russa coming back. It could happen. Sure. You know, you don't have to be young anymore to skip for a team. So I'd love for him to stay retired just because I don't want someone else to have him. But at the same time, I would like to see him again.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, I think he's too old, but I just looked him up. He's 10 years younger than I thought he was.
So how old is he?
66.
He's 45. He's 45 years old.
He's only 66.
Yeah. And Dusty Baker, who's the oldest manager, skipper in the league?
Baker's got to be in his 70s.
Dusty's got to be. Dusty or
I mean, it's La Russa. La Russa's 71, I believe.
La Russa's been managing since before I was born, right? I mean, he's been.
Yeah, since the 70s.
Yeah.
Mid 70s.
So, I mean,
Dusty Baker's 71. So, what I'm saying is, like, I thought there was no way this whole thing about Bochy was just like, you know, hopium or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This is a lot more real than I ever imagined. Wow.
Well, the last 5 years of managing the Giants aged him a lot, I think.
Yeah.
He's not 2015 to 2019 was pretty hard on him.
Well, it's just not true. He seems so wise. That's why I think he's much older than that, because he just seems like this almost baseball god in a way. Like this.
He gets he's gotten a lot of rest in the dugout, though. He's had a lot of good naps during games in the dugout.
Another reason, his presence brings wins. He doesn't have to be awake for them. He just has to be there.
What?
Tony La Russa is 76.
Would you guys rather have?
Yes,
a spot in the NLCS or Bruce Bochy back at the helm?
Oh, God, that's a spot in the NLCS.
NLCS, yeah.
Come on. It's no guarantee that you'd win. Like Bochy, you might have for 10 years. So just one spot in the NLCS. Or Bruce Bochy back. Think hard, Dallas.
Oh my goodness.
Because I'm about to make this happen.
Now my brain is spinning.
I've got him right here.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What? I'm gonna say, I honestly would say you're saying we're not guaranteed to win, but we could possibly win.
Well, obviously, that's how baseball works.
Yeah, then I would go with the spot in the
NLCS. Depends on who the ump is.
I'd go with the spot in the NLCS, honestly. All right. Because, I mean, there's no guarantee that we'd have any success with Bochy as manager.
But most of the Padres' success came with Bochy. And look what he did with the Giants. So that's what I'm saying. It's like
half of those Padres are dead that he had success with.
But what I'm saying is, like, he took guys that maybe weren't, like, the greatest and did a lot with them. He was, and then look at what he did with the Giants. Listen, like, a lot of those Giants lineups on paper are not great.
We were supposed to get swept every World Series we won.
Yes. I don't know if you guys have ever met Nick McCann, but he was one of the first guys that ever told me back in like 2003 or whatever it was, that if Bochy has at least a decent team, he can make something out of them. And that's always been the case.
Always been
the case. I mean, we were, even during the Nevin and Klesko years, we weren't a terrible last place team. We were still kind of somewhere around interesting. He always could make talent better, but I just don't know. Like, we have a lot of talent now, and I don't know if getting him. Listen, I'm not going to say no to Bruce Bochy.
His departure felt like, I think the whole fan base kind of felt like, okay, he can go. He needs to get away from this. It's like better for him. That's how it felt.
No, that is very true.
They were just not going anywhere.
If you love Bochy, set him free.
It's very true. Yeah. It's very true. I mean, it's kind of the way most people felt about Adrian Gonzalez. It's the same thing. It was like we weren't going anywhere with him. Just let him go try to win a ring. Like, I mean, we've done that so many times. But it would be nice to have him back and now have a team that he can maybe do something. I don't know. I don't like Tingler very much either, though. So,
Felt about Pablo Sandoval. We let him go, and now he's a hero with the Braves.
See, I envision our TKF 400th episode being like a live recording during his Hall of Fame speech as a Giant. I think that's going to be. That'll be the end of the podcast.
I'm in. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to be there.
That brings warm fuzzies, Nick. I'm all about it.
Hey, Sean, thanks for coming on. You know, you produced a lot of the early episodes for the Kept Faith, like a about a year and a half of them, right? When we first started.
I definitely did some of them. I was an early blog contributor. I've always been a fan and I love getting to talk to you guys. I love the NL West with all of my heart.
Hey, it's a fun, it's a party. It's always a party.
It is.
You know, check out the Talks Chrome. It's a show that me and Dallas jump on all the time and we're on it. Dallas is the co-host, I guess. Is that the?
I'm working.
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
I might be moving on.
Titles.
I'm hooking up with I'm hooking up Matt Strom and I.
No, Matt Strom is my. We got some fun episodes coming out this week, Nick. So check it out. Yeah. Talkstrom.com.
Yeah, and keep listening to the Kept Faith. We're gonna keep doing it. I guess, right, Dallas?
I mean, what else are we going to do? Yeah, we've done it for this long.
We'll see you guys, by the way, this time on our home turf next weekend.
That's right, next weekend.
You mean that monstrosity at the Bay?
You have to go. You're not on Talk Scrum anymore.
No, you know, that's a good... I'm just joking. That's a great stadium. I actually hate how much I like that stadium.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful stadium.
Can't wait to go.
Except for that big, stupid glove. That glove's dumb.
Hey, you know what? The glove is there just in case a ball gets hit there.
All right.
That's Bochy's glove. That's how big his hands are. That's Bochy's glove.
We'll see the Giants and the Kayaks next weekend.
Yeah.
And check out thekeptfaith.com for all our stuff. And we'll see you next 100 episodes, I guess.
Wow.
Next week.
Oh, is this the 100th episode?
This is 200.
200. Oh, no one told me that. Congrats, guys.
Oh, thanks, man.
Big fan. It's my first one I've ever listened to.
First time caller, long time listener, Sean O'Donnell.
Hey, keep the faith.
Keep the
faith. That would sound like a question mark, Nick.
Keep the faith.
Keep the faith. Faith.
Thanks, guys.
Right. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Learn Academy. One thing that makes the Padres so good right now is that they've got the right support system in place for their players, which has allowed the rookies to learn the fundamentals and rise through the ranks. Learning to code? It's no different. And Learn Academy has the system and team that's right for you in place. Their weekend coding bootcamp is the perfect place to get started coding and is the perfect place for beginners. You'll get 20 hours of virtual and engaging training from professionals. And by the end of the weekend, you'll have a website coded by you that you can show off to everyone on the internet. And that's exactly what the internet is for. If you want to learn more, go to www.learnacademy.org or call 619-940-7848. But you got to act fast because for our Kept Faith listeners, you can save $200 at checkout just by using the code PADRES. You heard right, $200 at checkout by using the code PADRES.